And so the Word of God, it is the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, as you were saying earlier, was that, you know, how people can come and teach on the same subject or preach on it, and all of a sudden you say, gee, I've never seen it that way before. And like I said before, it's a living Word, the Word of God. It's living, it has life. It's not just merely text on a page. It's not just a historical book. It's not just, even though archaeologists, that the Bible's the number one book they use as a historical reference. Even those who aren't saved will actually use it because it's filled with so much detail of just the events that happen, the time periods, things of that nature. But it's amazing because it's a living Word. The Word of God still speaks today. And I believe that the more relevant we try to make the Word by ourselves out of our own flesh, the more irrelevant it becomes. Because the fact of the matter is that the Word of God, it still takes a seeking and a diligent heart to seek out what is the mind of God. What is God saying today? What's the word of the Lord for today? As we get into the prophetic, the second session, we're going to deal with why prophesy? Why? Why is that a gift that's needed in the body of Christ? Say there are some churches that feel like it's not necessary, probably because a lot of them have been exposed to the damaging aspects of people mishandling the gift. You know, I shared it this way before, is that just because there has been an abuse of truth doesn't mean that you neglect the truth that has been abused. Just because there has been an abuse of a truth doesn't mean that we neglect the truth that has been abused. And if it's written in the Word of God, and if it's taught upon, then it behooves us to not seek it out. What does it mean? What is it for today? One of the major moves of God in the early 1900s, when there was the rediscovery of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, was out of Topeka, Kansas, where a school, Granham's Bible School, where students sought out in the Word that there's a baptism that Jesus comes to give. It's not the baptism of water like John the Baptist was doing, but this is a baptism of Spirit and of fire. And it caused these students to say, do we have this baptism? What exactly is this baptism? And so by looking to the living Word, because they saw something that they'd never seen before, it caused them to pray and to seek the Lord. What does this baptism mean? And can we obtain it? Is it for today? You know, I think of how in the book of Acts, actually, when you read in the New Testament, I love how the book of Acts, unlike any of the Pauline epistles that Paul's written or the general epistles that you see of Peter, James, John, how they all end with amen, like so be it. Right. This is the portion of the letter. This is the word of the Lord. Every book that was written was under the inspiration of the prophetic word of the Lord to that day, to that time, to that people, what God is saying. And so, but the book of Acts is not necessarily, doesn't end off saying amen. It's not just we can complete this. I believe by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, when we read the book of Acts, it's that. That's just the beginning phase, but that the acts, not of the apostles, the acts of the Holy Spirit is still to be continued this day. The book of Acts is actually, I don't know, in the King James or in the title, it would say the Acts of the Apostles, and it surely it is the very things that the Lord has done through them. But really, if you read it, it's really about the acts of the Spirit. Because some people today would believe that, well, it began there and it ends there. It's not for today. Well, if you look at it as just the Acts of the Apostles, well, apparently those apostles aren't alive among us. But if we really see that it's really been by the Spirit of God, then we realize the Bible says this. It says that everything that's done, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so since the beginning, when the Spirit of God moved across the waters, the Spirit of God still is moving throughout history and still moving today. You can't kill a spirit. A spirit is unending. You can't say the Spirit begins here and it ends there. It's just like when you look at the heavens. You can't say this is where heaven, when it was created, it started right here at this latitude, longitude, and it ends here. No, it's everywhere. And that's why Jesus, he reveals not just who God is, but what he is at the woman with the woman at the well. She starts talking about worship. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, he's saying, my Father, God, you can't just say, well, he's just, you know, the throne is at this place in heaven and this is at that place. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And so that's why it's amazing, because when Jesus walked on the earth, he was God fully manifest in the flesh. And I don't know if I used this example before, but it's like if I took that coffee pitcher and I went to the ocean, I can't fit all of the ocean in a little pitcher, right, of coffee. But that pitcher could be completely filled of ocean water. Completely filled. Jesus, in his natural limitations of his finite body, right, like you and I have, the Spirit of God that's everywhere was crammed as much as it could be in that body. That's why the Bible says that the Spirit of God, when Jesus began to perform the miraculous, he had the Spirit, the Bible says, without measure. It was constantly flowing out of him. You and I, we have the Spirit with measure. That's why, I mean, it was important that, as you mentioned earlier, how that you could see something out of the same scriptures, completely different than what I maybe got out of it, and yet I see something, you say, man, I didn't see that. Well, I didn't see what you saw. And it's like when a few people see a car wreck, they all, from different angles, they see the same thing, they're reading the same thing, but yet they have a different perspective, or God shows you something different. Come on in, shows you something differently. And so the amazing thing is that we need one another, because we all carry a different measure of the same Spirit of God. I need your measure. You need my measure. I need his, her measure. Those who've been walking longer with Jesus, their measure has increased in their understanding and knowledge of God by their experience. And so we need each other's measure. And it's so important, because if we do not bring what measure we have to the table, it's like having a church fellowship meal. You know, Lori, you bring your pie and you know, you bring over there your stew and all that. And if we don't bring what piece we have to offer, we're not going to have a feast. And so could it be that when we gather together, and then corporately we gather together, that we come bringing what measure we have, that we can surely say, like David, my God has set a table before us in the presence of our enemies, but in the presence of where we can taste and see what good things he has for us. And so we begin to put a demand upon what measure we carry. I may say be gifted in an area of healing, and somebody is more gifted in prophecy. Well, pertaining to the need that's met, if we need to hear a word of the Lord, we're going to now ask upon the person who carries that measure of prophecy. It's like the dinner table. Once we're done with the entree, we need dessert. Well, let's call upon those who brought dessert. Did you bring dessert? We need dessert here. That's the greatest gift. Love is the greatest gift we all need, but the greatest gift is whatever meets the present need. You know? And so, you know, if my mouth is burning, I don't need a hot cup of coffee. I need a slushy from 7-Eleven or something to cool me down. And so if we can discern as the body of Christ, knowing, as Pastor Mel has shared before, out of the scriptures, we must know who labors among us. Not just know your personal life or know, you know, where you live, I want to know, what measure did God entrust you with? What gem do you carry? What impartation, whether great or small? It doesn't matter. You might think, well, I have a small measure. I don't really have anything of value. Well, the little boy who had few fishes and loaves didn't think that. He brought what little measure, what few things he had, and God says, I'll multiply that to feed everybody that is in need. So, obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't sacrifice what little measure you got of willingness of being of any help, because the Lord could take that measure and supernaturally multiply it to feed everybody. And everyone say, wow, I've really tasted and seen what good things the Lord had in store today. Isn't that something?
You know, it's just like your body functions.
Yes.
Every part has their part. I'm not using any of my muscles right now.
Mm-mm. Except for your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But has the most.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's
your
true.
Eyelids.
Well, yeah, but I'm
I know what you're saying. Your whole, they're big muscles.
Yeah.
You need the little muscles.
But when I go to lift something, or when I get, you know, I'm going to lift the muscles. You know, so sometimes parts of my body aren't in function.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes we could get into a service. We only want the big muscles to work. Well, yeah, well, that's great. You know, but not everybody is a big muscle. Paul uses the body, the anatomy, as a perfect example of the body of Christ. Not everybody is the legs, the strongest muscle in your body. Some people are a heart. Some are the mouth. You got the prophets who are like the mouth, you know, you have. And so, but without a heart, you can't live. Without the mouth, you can't communicate. And so every part in its timing is so essential to function. And so when you have the legs trying to do the heart's work, trying to do the mouth's work, it can't. And then you wonder, why is there not life? Why is there not vitality? Why is there not, maybe because we're only allowing one extremity to do all the work. Maybe we're only allowing the pastor to do the evangelizing, do the preaching, do this. Meanwhile, we're all part of the same body. And so if we want to experience a move of God and be able to move, we got to be willing to say, Lord, here's the few loaves and fishes I have to bring. Coming to the house of God saying, Lord, what can I bring to the table of fellowship? You know, as I shared before, we can go to places where you visit a church, you say, oh, well, they lack in this, they lack in that, and we become so critical. But I believe that the very areas that we could see that is critical, maybe you're the only one the Lord has given insight to those things, so that you can bring what is needed rather than just sit back and criticize what is not there.
Good word.
In other words, it's easy for those who maybe criticize where the tithe money may go, and yet they don't give. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe, well, if they only gave, you know, like, what was it, Judas who says that woman who broke the, you know, the stuff, the money, or the oils, that could have went to the poor. Well, Judas, are you taking care of the poor? You're not taking care of them. And so I believe is that if we see something that is lacking, then maybe the Lord is going to want us not only, because we can't have the wherewithal to take care of it without we first seeing it. We got to recognize it. You know, I don't buy tools to fix the roof unless I see there's a problem with the roof. And so we can say, oh Lord, anoint me, give me the gifts, give me this. And yet if you don't see where those gifts are needed, then why would God want to give you the gifts? Just to have them? No. It's so that we can become visionaries together and say, Lord, open my eyes to see what is it that you're wanting to do in our midst. And sometimes we don't know where to see unless we hear what God is saying. And so tonight, or this morning, I'm so used to that night. This morning, I'm going to get into why prophesy. I'm just going to spend just a few minutes in this, honestly. Praise the Lord. And so, what does the word prophesy actually mean? You see it here in your notes. two things. It's the act of communicating an inspired message received by divine revelation. Inspired message received by divine revelation. Perfect example, it's not here in your notes, is consider the book of Revelation. That whole book is a book of prophecy. John says, actually at the end of it, I'll just say the reference in Revelation 22:19, it says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take your part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book, which things he testifies, saying." And then he says this, "He which testifies of these things, surely I come quickly," Jesus says. "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." And I just want to add this cliff note. The book of Revelation is not about who's going to Jesus. It's about Jesus coming to us. Amen. Wow. God, who so loved us that he came to our level. Isn't that amazing? You know, a religious or a traditional religious spirit will always try to go to God's level without him first coming to our level to even know we can go there. You know, it's amazing because not one person is actually looking for God until they come to hear about Jesus Christ. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, you didn't come to me first. I came to you. You didn't love me first. I loved you. And so thank God we serve a God who loves us enough to get down to our level, even when we're oblivious to where to look and where to go. But the book of Revelation, it's a book of prophecy. And so all the books are prophetic in their own right and they're historic, but this is solely dependent upon the word of the Lord. And actually the revelation of what? Of just things to happen. Actually, all that comprised in one thing. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. John says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is about him. For, you know, all things are of him, through him, and to him, to whom be the glory. All things. Second part is this. Prophecy, or prophesying, it is a word from the Lord in due season. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You know, there's a lot of people, they prophesy, but it's when you hear the word of the Lord in due season that causes you to say, you know what, this is good. This is what I needed to hear.
Don't you find, too, that when the Lord is trying to get a message through to you, it seems like everywhere you turn, you hear it.
It's almost it's confirming.
It's confirming. You know, God's trying to say something to me. You see it in the Word. You hear it in a song. You hear it on the radio.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I don't normally write as much about if I'm preaching, what I'm preaching on. But when I do, it's amazing how I get feedback from people who say, you know what, my pastor just preached that, or so-and-so, the elder, he just spoke up about that. And is God speaking to a larger body? It's amazing, you're right. And so there's always a confirming word. Like I shared last week, man can't live by bread alone, Jesus says, but by every present proceeding word. And that's why the greatest question we can ask the Lord is, Lord, what are you saying today? What are you saying today? Not just yesterday or not 5 years ago, but what are you saying today? And I'm going to stand up. I believe that's something that really kickstarts our fellowship with God in prayer. We can pray all that's on our mind, all that's in our heart, and that's good. But at the end of the prayer, we should say, Lord, what do you have to say about today? You gave me this day. I didn't promise this day to me. By your sovereign hand, I woke up in the morning. You gave me this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. You said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So what do you have to say about today? What reasons do I have other than the fact you gave it to me that I am going to rejoice in you today? What is it that you're asking me to be obedient so that I can find that my reward is a reward of rejoicing, seeing your hand at work through my life today. Wow.
You know, it's easy to ask those questions, but it's not as easy to take time to listen.
You're right. And sometimes even in the listening, it's still having an expectant heart for God to answer. So, all right, Lord, if you don't answer now, I'm going to go about this day by faith, and I'm going to look for your answer. I'm going to look for it. And if you have somebody set already to looking for it, like I said before, any area that we become critical, not just in church, but even in people's lives, God says, you know what? I'm going to use you to be a blessing to them. I'm going to use you to speak life into that area. Oh, that person, they're so depressed all the time, and they're so this. Why every time I come in, they're always bah humbug, you know. Well, maybe the Lord's shown you, yeah, I want you to speak life into that. There are things that have not grown in them yet. And I want you to speak my word into their life and watch life just begin to grow out of them. Amen. Isn't that something? And so that's the greatest gift. Anyway, Ephesians 4:10. I'm going to let one of you guys read that. Shalim can sit down.
I don't mind reading.
Yeah. Yeah, that's written there in the notes.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, encouraging of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Does that happen here on earth?
Until we all come into the unity of faith?
Yeah, stature of the fullness of Christ.
We are measure by measure. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. That's why I believe that when, you know, when the Lord returns, he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Now, you know. Now, I believe, yes, we're coming unto a greater stature and fullness. But I believe that the creme of the creme, the completed work, is when he returns and those who are dead, everyone comes forth glorified, new body. But what we've seen, if you read in the book of Revelation, and especially in the first few chapters, you know, the letter is actually, or the prophecy is given to different churches. Church of Laodicea, Church of Ephesus, so on and so forth. And there were some that you would think, man, they arrived. And God says, except for one church that he said he was really pleased with, there was not really any lack. But all of them lacked in something. But isn't it amazing in Ephesians, as Paul writes? Now, a lot of us, we know about, you know, fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, so on and so forth, right? But if you read the verse before then and the verse after then, it gives us the picture of why we have some of the of apostles and prophets. Not everybody's apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors, teachers. And he's talking about in the full office, occupying that full office. But the whole purpose of it is not that we can just send our money just to glorify that apostle on TV or in church or wherever. The whole purpose why God's given some, it goes on and says to, he would, because God fills everywhere, that he might continue to fill all things. Not just all in heaven, but all in earth. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. As it's already in heaven, you don't have to worry about whether God's filled in heaven or whether heaven's void of God. God's everywhere. That's done. That's been there since the beginning of time and before then. But in that which he created, because there was an actual birthing to the earth, God says, I want to fill the earth too. Which goes back to the commission he gave mankind, take dominion, be fruitful, multiply. It was that God through man would fill all things. So God gave these gifts, these fivefold ministry gifts, and part of that is prophets. And so why prophesying? It's because it's in the part of the fulfillment. It's the piece of the puzzle. Not just to give people prophetic words and be like, oh, wow, you got a real gift. No, that's wonderful. It's that God might be filled in all things. The word of the Lord is coming to you to give you insight, but that God might fill you in an area that has not been filled yet. Fill your understanding. Fill the promises given to your life. The very fact that today is a day never lived in history before. George Washington didn't live in today. Benjamin Franklin never experienced the day that we're living in. Peter the Apostle, they never experienced today. we have a day that's given that's it's new every day. His mercies are new every day. As new as the day is, so is his mercy. But it's for the purpose of God says, I want to fill this day. I want to fill it. And so there are, I believe that God has an agenda for today. Not just to hear a good word and to have, you know, praise and worship, that's great. But the question we need to speak is, Lord, what are you saying today? God may want to even speak that through some people this morning. But God, what are you saying today? Because God says, I want to fill this day with my agenda. And I want, you're a part of my agenda today. You're a part of my agenda. In Luke chapter 2, 49, it says, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This is when Jesus was 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph were looking for him. And they understood not the saying which Jesus spoke to them. And when they went down with him and came to Nazareth, he was subject to them. But his mother kept these sayings in her heart. Verse 52, I have it highlighted here. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I believe that so should the body of Christ. If the church is the body of Jesus Christ, if he grew, so shall his body grow. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, a lot of times people just focus on the stature of, look at how many congregate members we have. That's good. But did you grow in wisdom? Did you grow in discipleship? Are you just praying to look for God to build an audience or to build disciples? And then there may be some that, you know, we have wisdom. We have wisdom. We have, understanding. Like this morning, we're getting into the Word, into the teaching, and, we're gaining some understanding. But what good is our understanding? What good is having more knowledge of the Word of God if we're not bringing it to other people? You know, we could still remain here in church, you know, us few and no more. But unless we take what has been imparted, freely I receive, freely I want to give. So, Lord, in your agenda for today, however that may be, what part, maybe I only have time to get a few minutes. Maybe, God, you're using this to give me a revelation to give to also someone else. And so, God, Jesus, he grew in both size, in favor with God and man as well. And I believe that the house of God should also be a house of favor. We're growing in favor, amen? Favor one with another, favor even outside. I believe that's why a church body, even the practical things, we should do things, we should be a people of integrity. Building favor, showing the world that's in a dark place, wow, that Christian is a person of their word. They're a person of integrity. I ask for one thing, you know, going to a restaurant, I believe that a Christian should be the greatest tipper at a restaurant.
That's right.
I believe that. Because we're living out of grace. They're not. We are. Yeah, I love how that, you know, they have them on the receipt, you know, 5% tip, you want to circle that, 10%, 20%, I want to give 25%. Why? Because even though you're going to settle and say, wow, that 20%, you're good there, wow, that's wonderful, and that's kind of the status quo, especially dining at night, but I'm living out of grace. I give my tithe out of obedience to the Lord, but I give beyond my tithe because I'm living out of grace. Grace is the ability to go above and beyond the status quo, if I could just make it simple. Grace says, who's Jesus Christ, grace says, when one man tells you walk 1 mile, you go 2 miles. Grace says, when one person slaps you in the face, you turn the other cheek for them to hit as well. What? Why don't you want to be hit in the face? You know, unless we're part of an Italian family where people slap each other because it's love and affection and not, you know. We learn how to live out of grace, you know. But the thing is that, like my job, my boss, she says, you know, if you want to leave early and claim your full hours, that's fine because the work is dwindling and you already paid. Because the way my job is, they already paid for our full contract there. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the favor. You know what the Lord says? Don't leave early. Still keep working. That's fine. I have favor with my boss. That's not a question. But guess what? The God is my boss before my boss is my boss. So that means is that I could be released. I know that that's an opportunity. But I do know is that I'm called first to be a man of integrity. And integrity is not just doing, you know, to be seen in front of people. It's what you do when no one's watching. That's integrity. That's building integrity. Because you're mindful that I'm always before the eyes of the Lord. And I'm not doing things for praise. I'm not doing things. I'm doing things because, first of all, I'm living out of grace. Isn't that something? Living out of grace. So Grace Chapel, that's what grace is all about.
Yeah.
It's going above and beyond. In other words, you know, Pastor, what do we need to do? Whatever. Well, this is the needs that needs to be met. Okay, great. I'll meet that need. But then the Lord comes in. How about you go beyond that need? Wow. That's what it looks like growing in favor with God and man. It's where grace is abounding. Sometimes, you know, if we only live to live just to meet this end of the status quo, then we're really living by law. You know, I completed the task.
That's true, Lord. If I can make a comment on
Go ahead.
Thinking about from a workforce, kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah.
I take care of a number of vets,
mm-hmm.
and four, in fact. I got two Vietnam vets and two Korean vets. One
yeah.
was a POW. But anyway, there was this one girl is only 2 miles from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if something takes place and I'm supposed to leave at a certain time, like he needs attention, well,
yeah.
of course, there's no way I'm going to take off. But it goes beyond that. The dogs need let out. We're
mm-hmm.
not to take care of the dogs.
Yeah.
But they need to go out.
Mm.
You know, so you go above and beyond, and it's even more than that. So when Christmas time came about,
yeah.
An interesting thing happened. They have back in December, they'll have their banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And they give the awards out to different people. And so I didn't get anything. I think, I don't know, I was just kind of maybe short on one case. They says I might have missed because I try to keep a perfect record.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, Lord, you know what I did. You know how I work. So, you know, I thought, well, you know. And that's what's important. And the interesting thing is, here at Christmas time, this fellow that I take care of,
yeah.
that family had given me a Christmas gift. And I think he was in Florida at the time.
Mm.
So he's calling up to talk to his mom and dad on the phone. And she's on the phone. She's walking into the bedroom room to
yeah.
hear her husband and says, Stevie, did you open your gift yet? And I said, I was going to wait till I get home. I'm like, oh, she, open it now. So I did. I said, all right, okay. Stop what I was doing. And I opened the thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I saw a $100 bill in there.
Wow.
But I didn't look at it fully. I was like overwhelmed. I said, wow, thank you. I got home.
Mm-hmm.
There was three more $100 bills in there.
Wow.
And so at Christmas time, for the top person, they give a $500 gift.
Yeah.
This one family alone
yes.
gave me $400. So
isn't that something?
Because I prayed with these people. I prayed for him. I prayed for her. So, and they allow me to do it. That's
mm-hmm.
it. You know, if the door's open, they allow you to do it. And,
excellent.
So God, he awards.
He'll go above and beyond. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I experienced, you know, my job is a contract job where if I have to take off, I don't get paid, you know, because it's through an agency. And there's times I had to take off, maybe go minister somewhere or whatever. I don't, you know, and I wound up always bringing back more than what I've had working at my job, you know. The Lord, because Jesus is grace. Grace and truth came by him. When he blesses, he goes above and beyond. That's why I've learned to change in my prayers. If I'm really believing God for something, I said, Lord, this is as far as my mind can take me in prayer of my request. If you answer according to my request, I'd be very thankful, but I wouldn't be impressed. Because you're a God that goes above and beyond what I can ask or think. And Lord, I'm giving you, I want you, I'm inviting you to show off so that glory can be given unto your name.
Praise God.
I mean, when you're living like that, the sky really is the limit. That's why when Jesus shares the parable about the Good Samaritan, the act of the Samaritan represented grace. Grace says, I'm going to stop going on my journey just to take time to help this poor guy out. See, the other people, the priests and all that, they represented the law. The law can only go so far. Moses, the reason why Moses did not enter into the promised land, it was because of what he represented, the law. The law can only go so far. But Joshua, who's a prophetic shadow and type of Jesus Christ, he precedes the law and he goes into the promised land and leads a people into it. And so the amazing thing is because the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're void of the truth found in the law. It means that you're going to take truth with you, but now grace is going to go and begin to go above and beyond that. Isn't that something? Amazing. I'm going to end with this portion in 1 Corinthians 12. You have it here in your notes. There are gifts of the Spirit that are given. And this comes into why prophesy. And I wrote here, there's gifts that are given. There's 9 gifts, actually. And it's amazing how there's a specific reason and order that is written in, if you read in 1 Corinthians 12. And we won't read the passage, but I do encourage you to. I have some segments of the scriptures here in your notes, but read it when you get a chance. But anyway, the Bible talks about these different gifts. It says that there's gifts by the same Spirit. It's the word of knowledge. It's the discernment of spirits. It's the word of wisdom. And also the other gifts are the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And also the other gifts are gifts of healing, faith, and miracles. And so as you see in your notes, I have it here categorized. Actually, I'm going to use a different color. And I'm going to end it with this. And so we actually have wisdom words, or in other words, revelation gifts. So you have a word of wisdom, discernment, of spirit, to be very more specific, because we're not called to discern by the flesh, we're called to discern by the Spirit. That's why Jesus, he told the disciples, he says, hey, Jesus, there's some people not following us and they're performing, you know, miracles. He goes, should we call fire down from heaven because they're not following us? They're not part of our congregation. And he says, you don't know what spirit you're of. You're judging by the flesh, not by the Spirit. And that's something. But thank God Jesus didn't leave them after that. So discernment of spirits, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge. Okay, so word of wisdom. And I'm thankful, majority, you'll see a lot of the saints of God working out of revelation gifts. You know, someone, ooh, I have a word of wisdom to give to you. I have some knowledge that I feel like the Lord's given me for you specifically. Or you're discerning things. So this is primarily prevalent. And I'm actually going to put it in an order. 1, 2, 3. Okay, 3 steps. The other gifts here that we have here is tongues, interpretation of tongues,
prophecy.
And prophecy. Thank you. Prophecy. You know, when you initially begin to speak in other tongues, you know, I love how that when Paul says this, he says that I'm glad, he says, I speak in the Spirit, I speak in tongues more than you all. More than you all. Because the truth of the matter is this, is that your understanding can only take you so far. But when you speak by the Spirit, I may not understand exactly what's being transacted, but I know one thing, I am being filled with the inspiration of God. All of a sudden, there just comes this overflow out of me. Isn't it amazing how that, there could be mornings, I've been there plenty of times, I don't even feel like praying. I'm like, Lord, it's early. I'm yawning. I don't want to yawn in the face of God, but I'm just tired. I've been doing this every morning. And all of a sudden, I just, you know, Lord. And that's how I start, Lord. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. My mind's catching up that I'm awake. Let me just start speaking. Let me just...
comment on that, and on inspirational gifts. Listening to some of the teachers on the radio, the one is out of Carlisle. And in the morning, afternoons, what have you, but they'll talk about, it was in fact, MacArthur, John MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good teacher, but the guy is he's basically, I guess what you call it, a fundamentalist in a sense. But it's kind of sad as to how they try to explain the tongues.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, well, they were speaking in other, like...
like other languages or...
Other languages, yeah. But then again, they missed the part about where we're speaking in tongues to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing of it is, it's for your building up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's for the body, and this is where they miss out.
They're just so boxed in. They are.
On that.
Well, here's the difference, this. The gift of tongues, it's an unlearned language. You can't take a seminar and say, now this is how we speak in tongues. You can't. It's actually a heavenly language, the Bible says. And so it comes by impartation. There's an impartation of the Spirit of God. And so it happens. The disciples in the upper room, they didn't sit there and say, okay, does any of you know how to speak the Samaritan language? Does any of you know? No. All they were doing was worshiping the Lord. And as they worship, an impartation. Thank you. An impartation came unto them. And the overflow came forth out of them. It's an unlearned language. But the benefit of it is that it begins to bring my heart from a place of tiredness. I don't feel inspired to even pray. Next thing I know, when I start off with saying, oh Lord, to all of a sudden, Hokora ma ma ma, and I begin to speak. Next thing you know, I'm shouting, I'm declaring, faith comes alive. Where was this an hour ago? It was sleeping. So I got to, the Bible says, stir up the gift that's within you. I got to stir it up. In other words, if I'm fighting to wake my natural body up, I got to wake up the spirit man and say, come on, let's get stirred up. Time to wake up. How do I stir it? I begin speaking in other tongues. And then, of course, corporately, there's the interpretation of tongues. I've been plenty of places. Someone starts shouting in tongues. Another person on the other side begins to interpret what the Lord is saying. So these are all part of inspirational gifts. The gift of prophecy is not just, all right, Lord, read my fortune or anything like that. God says the reason why I'm speaking prophetically to you is to inspire you to walk and trust me, to do something about it. I've given you my word on it. My wife and I, especially now in a place where God's given us his word, the manifestation hasn't happened yet, but I can rest on one thing. We have his word on it. And God's faithful to his word. Amen? So we have the inspirational gifts, right? So we have majority of people, I would say, at least that I've seen the body of Christ, are comfortable operating in revelation gifts. Okay? A lot of the books that we have today, in resources, are, what new revelations coming in. That's been kind of like the mindset of American churches. What's the newest revelation? The newest, greatest thing, right? I believe for many of those people need to also learn to go back to their foundational truths, because it's sometimes when you go back to your foundation, you all of a sudden see a whole other avenue of what God's speaking afresh too. But revelation gifts. God gives revelations to us. And then you have some books, they're inspirational, right? Maybe not about tongues or written in tongues, you can't really do that. But you do see this in the body of Christ operating, not as much as this magnitude. But yeah, then you have this. Okay, and I believe God wants to flow in this. But ultimately, here's the next thing. Then we have power gifts, healings, faith, and miracles. Okay? Healings, faith, and miracles. I'll tell you what. You can't see the operation of power gifts unless you first go through revelation gifts and inspirational gifts. In other words, we can't operate in the power of Christ unless we first have a revelation of who he is. If you don't know who he is, look at the seven sons of Sceva, perfect point in case example. They say, we're going to try to cast this demon out of somebody, and the demon says, I know I got the revelation of who Jesus is. And I've known about who Paul is, okay? But who are you? Who are you to try to cast me out when you yourself don't even have a revelation and you're not operating by the inspiration of God, by the Spirit? You're just being inspired by what you see by the flesh, by what Paul is doing. Therefore, they had no power. My prayer is that, Lord, we need to see the power of God in the house of God again. Mm-hmm. And there are too many that are so inspired by what they see in people, by being inspired by just people and not by the Spirit operating through the person. And there's some that are so busy falling after a revelation of maybe who Billy Graham is rather than who Jesus Christ is. One thing I love about Billy Graham, they made his library, excellent library. I've been there before. And when they showed Billy Graham, you know, when they first did the library and they showed him around, what do you think? He turned to the people. He says, you know what? There's too much Billy and not enough Jesus. Redo it. And they redid it. It's an excellent library, too. And so the thing is that we need to operate in the revelation. But if we're truly to say we're operating out of grace, grace will take you beyond the revelation and into the inspiration of it. And then from the inspiration into the power of it. Because I know when I took my sister out to eat, I maybe shared this testimony about the lady who experienced healing in her body. I don't know if I told you, but my sister and I, we went out to a Wendy's and I got a chance to pray for a woman. Yeah. No. So there was operating at the time, if I could look back, there was a discernment of spirit because I was looking at this woman and the Lord put something in my heart for her just to ask her how she's doing. But I have a revelation of who Jesus is. Next thing I know, I have to take it up a level. Lord, what are you speaking through me? And so I'm speaking to myself in the spirit. The inspiration of God is coming afresh. Next thing I know, by faith, then I get up. She's telling me, well, my back and all that. Well, I need a power gift. I need a miracle to happen or a healing. Faith, right? Now, miracles, just to bring a distinction between the two, a miracle is instantaneous. Healings are progressive. In other words, when Jesus healed the lepers, right? He says he gives them his word. They're inspired by his word. They're obeying it, right? He says, now go to the priests to be clean, right? The Bible says, as they were going, they were all of a sudden healing came upon them. One came back and said, thank you. In other words, they experienced a healing. It was progressive. But then there are some that all of a sudden experience an immediate miracle from Jesus. They're all in the same part of power gifts. So just to bring understanding. But without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please him. Well, faith is a power gift. So God is saying, it's great you got a revelation of me, but if you're doing nothing about it and you're sitting on that revelation, you're not pleasing me. It's great you feel inspired. Man, we had a good church service today. I feel great. Wonderful. But if you're not testifying about his goodness to someone else, you're not really pleasing me. God says, I want you to get to the power. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, I believe, it says that it's not in word only. The Spirit of God is not in word only. It's in power. Or the kingdom, I'm sorry. The kingdom of God, it's not in word only. It's in power. So if you and I are to say that we are truly kingdom citizens living out of the kingdom of God now, then that means that not only should there be a common area of seeing the, you know, just revelation coming forth out of us and inspiration, but that ultimately that we are also not afraid to demonstrate power. Laying hands on the sick, praying for them. Don't be discouraged. Well, God, I'm not seeing. Is it because I don't have an inspiration? No. You practice that measure. You learn to handle that measure. And so there's been times I've laid hands on people. People didn't get healed. But the thing is, here's where faith kicks in, because God is looking to perfect your faith. If you don't see the miracle, the healing, are you going to then all of a sudden say, forget it, I'm not going to pray over that person or over anybody ever again because I'm embarrassed. It's about me. And nope. See, if it's still about you, you haven't accomplished step 1 yet. It's about a revelation of Jesus Christ, not a revelation about Justin Vargas. I get that revelation one too many times. There's nothing really exciting about that revelation. It's more, that's why John on the Patmos, he says, you guys may think this is all about all the details and the cosmos and Antichrist. Let me just make it clear. It's about the Revelation book, the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. That's what he says. It's the revelation of Jesus. And then I love how at the end he says, and if you take any words away from the prophecy, right? And so it has all that within it. But I believe that as the body of Christ, we need to be prayerful, saying, Lord, and in knowing, I want to be able to move in this dimension. I'm not just feeling inspired just to feel good. I don't want to let this sense leave me, because I can let it just kind of drown out. Who do I need to lay hands on? Who do I need to pray for? Should I call up my girlfriend on the phone and say, let me pray for you on the phone. That's just as much as by faith calling them, and maybe a miracle will take place.
Yeah.
So,
it's a distance there. You know, it's not having to be right there.
It's not, no.
I did that, praying with her over the phone. Another instance is where I'm working, and this particular fella, he has Hopkins
disease. Yeah.
And so she said to me, Stephen, how do you think he's doing today? I says, he's really, he seems a lot more jerky than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, a difficulty washing him and feeding him. So before I left, she went to go to the store. She came back just before it's time for me to go. And so before I left, I laid hands on him. And I prayed over him, and she said, thank you. And so I left, and I got back the next week. And I didn't see anything happen, but I felt led to do it, felt led of the Spirit of God to do it.
Amen.
And she does, she's a piano player for this church or something.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I went back, and she says, Stephen, she says, something wonderful took place.
Mm.
She says, the rest of that day,
yeah,
he was doing so much better. You know, again, didn't see, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
I felt led to do. And then she told me what took place.
And you know what? When other people, when you're not seeing even a manifestation, say, well, don't take it up with me. Take it up with him. Because I'm doing this in light of knowing who he is and his word. And you talked about distance. Jesus, in his day, when he walked the earth, there was no cell phones or nothing. But he gave his word, and the person was healed wherever they were at.
Yeah.
Right? When he told the one soldier, he says, the guy says, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. He says, just give me your word. In other words, I'll relay the message. And the Bible says, in the very same hour that Jesus gave him the word, that young girl got healed.
You know, that Roman centurion, he had to know of something about.
He had to.
You know, because he went to him. He didn't go to the Pharisees.
Yes.
He went to Jesus. So something.
So he had to have heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
That it gave him a revelation of this miracle worker that felt made him feel inspired to go to him. And when his inspiration to go to him took place, all of a sudden a miracle was manifested.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that I want to end with this. It says, why prophesy? Now, prophecy, when you receive a word, can only take you this far. But it's your responsibility with whatever prophetic word that you feel like God confirmed to your heart to say, Lord, I take you by your word. Now I'm going to walk by faith because I have your word. I'm going to begin to lay hands and pray for the sick because I have your word. However the Lord leads you, or whatever that word's pertaining. But the gift of prophecy does not perform the power by itself. It inspires you. It should be confirming, the Lord is speaking to me. But now for you, what are you going to do with that word? And I'm just going to wrap it with this one thought. I shared this before. You know, if you have a letter you got to send out, you got to mail out, and you got stamps. Some people like stamp collections. You know, they collect different stamps. Well, the cool thing is the stamps may be pretty, but they were never used. They never went anywhere. You may collect prophecies. Ooh, look at this word I got. Look at that word. But if you did not use that prophecy like a stamp on the letter of your life, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
You're just going to sit there and look at your book of inspiration. So people can buy books upon books of inspirational books, revelational books, and that's good. But if that's not going to be a stamp that will cause you to be signed, sealed, and delivered to wherever God wants you to go, you're not going to operate in the power that God wants. And that's where he says, without faith. Because when we experience walking in faith and operating out of faith, then God knows you've already came to that place because you went through the revelation of him. You went through the inspiration of him. And so when that's operating already in your life, and now there's the output of faith, God says, now, not only is this good, this is very good. So, praise the Lord. Father, we just bless your name this morning. We pray for service today. Breathe. Blow, just breathe afresh today. Lord, we pray, Lord, what your word has to say today to our lives. Speak, Lord, to us, God, that, Lord, we may have a greater depth of understanding you. And Lord God, being fueled and inspired, and Lord, we would move out in power. No matter the age, no matter what condition we might be fit in, Lord, you have a way. Lord God, of bringing yourself out of our lives and through our lives. And so, Father, we pray, anoint, Lord, Pastor Mel, anoint Brother Ben, anoint the sound man, anoint every congregant member, anoint everyone,
yes.
Lord, to have ears to hear, to have mouths to speak. And Lord God, may your power breathe afresh today in Jesus' precious name. I pray whatever we receive today, we would not sit on it, but we would move in it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Got some new people coming in with me and you.